She gets like ahead of the game. And so one of my themes today was just the wave of encouragement that the Lord is going to bring. And she's up here witnessing to it, being a part of it, sharing it. And that's just a little bit of money we gave, just a little tiny bit of money. Not an extra offering, just a part of what we're asking everybody to just be giving. And look at the impact. We're going to come back to that. When Pastor Richard Castile came to our leadership retreat and also came to speak that Sunday morning in October, he said, and it was something that has haunted, in a good way, a group of us leaders here, and we just keep coming back to it. And his challenge that the Lord was giving him and his congregation was, if you will give me space, I will fill it. And here's a man who has been an active prophet in our denomination for years, and he's saying he has gotten away from his own services, making room for God to be God. And all of us kind of sat back and were like, wow, that's cool. That's really cool. Of course we want God to be in our service and in our lives. You can do it as a church, but you also have to do it as an individual. But then you really start thinking about that. Am I prepared for what's going to happen if I do make space for God? What if he does show up? What's he going to do? More importantly, for me, what's he going to ask me to do? That's messing me up. My good friend Dan says, that messed me up, man. I like my comfort zone. I like my things. I like my little world, and God fits in that slice of it. I think I'm fairly committed. But will I really seriously take that up and say, well, if I make space? Richard challenged us also, where he said, is it safe to say, and this is quoting him, Richard Castile, is it safe to say that when we gather, the Holy Spirit has a plan? Every time we come, does the Lord want to do something here when in the midst of us? You know, are there churches all over America meeting today in his name but giving him no room? Saying, okay, you can come, God, but you're going to do it this way and in this space and in this time. You got 30 seconds and do your thing. And guess what? He probably shows up in 30 seconds. He's that good. Is it safe to say, does he have something he wants to accomplish in us as a group and as individuals? You know, what is our job? And he said, your job is to listen and then obey. That's what he challenged us with. So how do we do this? How do we make space? You know, we're wrestling with it. We're working through it. We're asking God to come and do this. I think a couple of things are going to happen if we will do this. Number one is, I think there's going to be a renewed call to worship. In Acts 16, we see a beautiful picture of Paul and Silas in the prison. And they start singing a song. And what happens? Chains break. Not only chains break, all the prison doors open. And everybody was free to run away, and nobody did. Now, if I was in prison and the door opened, I would run away. But it tells you that there was something powerful happening there as they were worshiping. God was doing something. God is doing something in all of our worship leaders. He's changing them in a way, and there's been a difference in our worship, I think, in the last 6 months, and I think it's going to keep coming, where they're leading us into more of a response, a closer relationship. They take very seriously, all of them, preparation for this. They listen. Lord, what are the songs I'm supposed to sing and lead us into? And I'm not going to go into a lot of that because I feel like others will teach better on that subject than me. But worship renews my perspective. It replaces the way I see things and turns them into the way he sees things. And that's really how they are. God's perspective is the perspective. When I come in with all of my week hanging all over me, as we start to worship, I start to get his perspective. Life starts to take on his perspective for me. So I think that's going to change. Our worship is going to keep getting better. Scott gave a great word 2 or 3 weeks ago where he felt like God was going to start doing some small adjustments. There were some small adjustments. Like we're a fine running car, but we need a tune up. And it's not a big change, but it's a series of little changes. And it's going to be good. I think there's going to be a renewing of the prophetic. For some people, it's new, but for most of it's not. This church has moved that way an awful lot. Man, that's a big word. I'm not even sure I like the word prophecy. I'm with Ken. I have so much bad experience just seeing people abuse it. And Richard gave us a great perspective. What is prophecy? Richard Castile said, it's basically just sharing God's heart with his people, or with people in general. That's all it is. That's all it is. Are we, by writing a check to a literacy group in Manteca High, is that prophetic? Of course it is. We're sharing God's heart through just a little bit of money to bless people. That is prophetic, New Hope. That is moving out and making a difference. That's missional. We are called in our ministry, we're called in our missionary assignment to offer prophetic encouragement as we go. As we're doing this, there's even more to what we're doing. Even like the Pay It Forward Challenge. Amazing the stories, right? But almost out of it comes a million other more opportunities to step up and do something. And people are doing it. That's prophetic encouragement. And in the midst of that, God is going to use us to speak to people his heart. Does that make sense? It's that simple. It's not any more complex than that. Getting there, though. I feel like Philippians, if you want to turn to that, we should probably read some Bible. Philippians chapter 2. Oops, I got my Bible, my phone's reading at me. Let's go to Philippians 2. And Pastor Ken shared on this. I just think this is a set of verses here. We just need to hang on for just a little bit. This season right now. I know where Philippians is. It says, if you have any encouragement, and this, let me just give you chapter 1. He's in prison. He's locked up. Things aren't looking great. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's a description of us. He starts off and he says, if you have any encouragement, well, of course we do. Look around the room, man. If you don't know the stories around here, there's people who walk through a lot of fire. Walk through a lot of life, and they've gotten encouraged by God through the midst of it. We have been encouraged. We are united with Christ. We're here. We've received his comfort from his love. Holy moly, there's nothing like his love. There's no comfort like his love. If we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, of course we do. If we've received tenderness and compassion, well, that's how you can give away tenderness and compassion, is because you've received it. It make my joy complete, being like-minded, having one spirit and purpose. That's where we're at. That's where God is taking us, to a different place of that. Nothing out of selfish ambition. Everything starts with laying myself down, considering others to be better than myself, not looking to my own interests. That's real American. That really flies today, doesn't it? But also to the interests of others. 3 and 4 are absolutely the key to where we want to go. If you want to see God do something, you have to lay yourself down. You have to look to the interests of others. Making any sense? Okay. So what are some guidelines to the prophetic? What are some things that I just kind of wrote down? For one, it has to be based on the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, 24. You know, he who built his house on the foundation was ready for the storm. Or built his house on the rock. His foundation was strong and it was ready for the storm. Anything good you see in life, I don't care if you see a family, a business, a city, a region, a country, if they build it on this, it will last. And the flip side is, verse 26, if you don't build it on this, it's not going to last. We can get on this great wave with God. If it's not built on this, we're done. We're done. It won't last. Does that make sense? It just won't last for the seasons. It won't last for the long haul. It won't be something that endures. Secondly, it has to be submitted to leadership and discipline. You know, anybody who's prophetic doesn't come up here as a wild card and do their own thing. That's not how it is. It has to be submitted to the leader. And our leader is Pastor Ken. He's our pastor. And there's a leadership team here. And so we're going to submit that to him. We're not going to do something separate. It's submitted to his leadership and direction. And then the bedrock of all prophecy, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:4. If ever you want to wonder whether God's giving you something to share with somebody, it always goes through this filter right here. And it's a great chapter on 4. I'm sorry, it's 14:3. Got dyslexic there. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. If you ever wanted to know whether God's saying something to you, it should always be to strengthen, to encourage, and to comfort the person that's hearing it. And there's times, sometimes you get a negative word where there's a warning to somebody. Go submit that to a leader. Don't say that in front of anybody in a group, okay? Very rarely does that happen, though. Richard said, he told us in his career of doing this, probably less than 1% has ever had those kind of words. It's always to encourage and strengthen and comfort. Can we follow those rules? Those make sense? What it's not, what we can't have it become, it can't be focused on a person. We're a body of many parts. We all have a purpose. 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy can be, God can speak to anybody at any time, okay? If all of a sudden the attention ends up on one person, I know that's not going to last. That is not something that's going to last. As soon as I see that, I know there's a season there maybe, but it's not going to last. Number two, it can't be focused on a church service and an activity we do only here. He wants to speak to us in our daily lives, in the community, out in our mission field. Number three, it's a big one. It can't be because I'm encouraged. I can't wait to give away encouragement when I feel encouraged. Okay? I can't wait till my circumstances are all lined up and I'm happy about my life. Hey Tim, let me tell you what God's doing in your life. That just isn't how it works. I lay myself down, I ask God, do you want to use me? Do you have something to say? And that's irregardless of what I'm going through circumstantially. Okay, emotion. It can't be driven by emotion. So many times I've given a word to somebody and there's tremendous emotion that comes. Okay, and that's a good thing. If God's giving you a piece of his heart, there should be emotion attached to that, but it can't be the goal. Does that make sense? The goal is always direction. God wants to say something to somebody, to change their life, to draw them closer to him. Bottom line, that's it. And we can't do it with a bigger goal in mind. Hey, we want to build this great prophetic team or ministry, or you know, we want to become the prophetic church, whatever. God's only heart, or God's only goal in giving away the prophetic is giving away his heart. That's it. No strings attached. No trips, no power plays, no I'm doing this for, you know, so you'll write me a check. None. If you start seeing those things, it's a warning sign. It's a warning sign. That's not healthy. Is that making any sense at all? Okay. This is where I think we've missed it. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. I think this is the key. We've had some seasons like this in our past, and they've been good. But I think this is the key. I think this is where any church can miss it. Let's read Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Man, that sounds like a great church to go to. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, sounds like a good thing to do there too. The Holy Spirit said, so God spoke to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. And now we know they head off into the missionary trips that changed the world. I mean, the foundation of Christianity that we even have today was set up by these two. It was a huge, these two men were a huge part of it. And so I think the word I kept getting is a closed loop. If you watch, if you ever watch the Olympics, and I love track and field, my wife was in track and field, but you watch the shot putters or the discus guys, you know, and how they're in the circle and they're spinning, right? And at some point, their momentum has created where they spin and they let go of either the disc or the shot. They've created momentum and leverage. It's not a closed loop. It's a loop that's been created to shoot something out. Okay? So if the shot putter got in the ring and he spun and he spun and he spun and he stopped and he said, okay, here, Diane, it's your turn. You'd be like, what are you doing? That's what I mean by a closed loop. Okay? It can't become something that we enjoy together. Can't be a group of people who are super interested in it and they just kind of do this together. It has to be something that's done to generate momentum that shoots something out. And that's how it lasts. That's how it goes somewhere. And if that's something that's of God, if that is something that's of God, everybody's going to see it for being real. It's going to have lasting fruit, not just temporary fruit. Does that make sense? I think that's where we need to really put our focus as we move in this wave of encouragement time that's going to come through worship, and it's going to come through our prayer time together, and it's just going to come through just a minor adjustment. I said, Lord, how do I, because so many people in New Hope already understand this. I mean, at our leadership retreat, it was like a review. It wasn't like a bunch of new stuff for so many people, and he gave me such a cool analogy. I just bought a new truck this summer. My truck put it on me on the way to on vacation, and I had to get a new truck. And I got a red burgundy Ford F-150 with a little tan trim. You know what? I drive around the same routine, same path. I know it was a Ford, Bob. I drive around the same routine, same path pretty much all the time. I had never seen a burgundy Ford F-150 with brown trim. Guess what? Now I see them all the time. Has anybody ever done that? As soon as you get a new car, it's like, holy moly. There's like three doors down from my house a dude has one. I'm like, I've never seen that truck before. And not that, you know, you're kind of like, you know, you want to think you're the only one. Like Ford's only going to make one burgundy Ford F-150, right? But that's the adjustment. That's the adjustment. All of a sudden, you're driving around town and you see stuff you didn't see. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Will I consider others more important than myself? Does that make sense? Does that like capture it for you? You know, I started praying differently. I've prayed for people all the time. And I just, because I get to spend a lot of time in the truck and drive around. God will bring, you know, I get to sing great songs. God will put people in my heart. And I start praying for them. Well, this time I started, and unfortunately I started listening. God started talking. You're like, oh, okay, so now I'm really a weirdo. And so I knew at some point after Richard had said that, it would be a chance to share some words. So can I share some words of encouragement that I have stored up? And I was asking God this morning, like, why did you give me all these? Am I supposed to just write them on cards and give them? He said, I want you to share some on a Sunday. And I said, all right. And I said, well, why would you do it that way? Because I know you'll choke if I give them to you when you're up there. So you needed them beforehand. So just a couple of different people, and I don't even need to write them down because I know they're so powerful in my heart. Emma, I was praying for you. God put you in my heart, and God has put a strength in you. And from him, and he's raising you up. And I saw you teaching a group of girls in a circle, and you were leading them in a Bible study, and you were teaching the word. And God's given you also a clarity in the word that you understand. You understand the Bible, and he wants you to share that. And he's going to give you opportunity to do that because of your strength in him. Does that make sense? Okay. Christina, can I share something? Yeah, yeah, that's you. That's you. God brought you to my heart, and he said that she is starting to dream dreams and opening up her heart to me. And I want you to tell her that you haven't even started to dream the dreams I have for you. You haven't even started to dream the dreams I have for you. And I feel like you told me to stay in that gal's hip pocket. Okay? God's going to keep walking you through whatever. I don't even know. But what an awesome promise. What an awesome promise. Where did Miss Anna go? She left us. I'm going to get her. Is she coming back?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think of who else I've got. Looking around here. Is Isaiah here? Is he out with the kids still? Okay. I had one for him. I had one for Scott, too. Let me go with Liz. Okay, sorry. Getting distracted. It was for all the worship people. I saw him walking, and Liz, you started singing. And he said, oh, Liz is singing. And he turned to hear you sing. This one kind of came in a couple parts. And that I think you've been discouraged in worship leading at some point about emotion. I don't know why. Maybe it was your emotion. I don't know. Somebody didn't like the way you led and tried to discourage you in that. And the Lord's saying, no, I like the way you sing. And I'm going to show you, don't ever be afraid of the emotion that comes when you lead worship. That's you. That's your wiring. And I'm going to show you how to continue to use that in a way to encourage. It's going to become like almost directional versus feeling like, oh, I can't be emotional while I lead worship. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but that's just what I'm sensing. But he stops when you sing. He stops to listen. Scott, I felt like the Lord was, that word you had, I felt was a lot for you. There was adjustments coming. And you felt like there's a lid on what's going on with worship with you. And I felt like the Lord's just going to make a couple adjustments, and it's just going to be like, I mean, I don't know personally anybody who knows more about worship and how to do it right and how to teach it right than you, who does it with more integrity. I've never met anybody. And I feel like he's going to bring a fresh, just filling. And there's some adjustments he wants you to listen to catch, little ones. Maybe it's even going back to where you started. But for sure, that's what he has for you. Does that make sense? Okay. Amen, 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 amen. Good deal. Anna, can I share a word of encouragement? Okay. I was praying for you Friday morning, and I knew you were coming, and just asking, you know, that we'd be blessed. And I saw you in your classroom, and there was just bookshelves everywhere, floor to ceiling. I don't know your classroom, but this is what I saw. And Jesus went up, and he pulled the book off the shelf, and he opened it up, and as only right a God vision kid, he like took his hand, and he kind of just erased the whole page in one fell swoop. He just erased the page, closed the book, and put it up on the shelf again. And you're looking at him like, what are you doing? And he went over and he grabbed another book, and he opened up the book, and he just tore a whole chapter out of the book. And now you're like, hey, what's going on? Closed the book and went back and put it back on the shelf. He turned around and he smiled at you. And I feel like God's saying is that those books represent your kids. And that when you open that book and he erases that page, what you're doing is you're changing the chapters of their lives. That these are chapters that would have brought destruction and devastation and pointed their families in a whole way of destiny that's going the wrong way. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm tearing this out through what you're doing. I've torn this out, and I'm changing their story. And at the end of your teaching career, there's going to be all these stories of destinies that have been changed. These are books that have been written through your influence on their life. You're doing God's work. You're a life changer. You're not a teacher. You're changing destiny for these people. And it's so awesome. We get to be a partner with that. So awesome. I get to stand here and encourage you in that. And it's so, and you need to know God is with you in that classroom and what you're doing. And I know coming from I'm the only black sheep non-teacher in my family. It can be discouraging, like you said. You're an island at times. And I know the enemy hates what you're doing. He wants to see families broken. He doesn't want to see people learn how to read and be successful and healthy. Amen? Amen. All right. Good, good. Isaiah. Last, I think this might be the last one. Oh, and I have one from Miss Ava. You were on a train track, and there was this just big, huge mountain of rock. And the track went right up to the mountain, and it split two ways. And then it came back around that mountain, and it came back together again on that track. And that mountain is the Lord. And the paths were, one way was your way, and one way was his way. But at the end of around the mountain, they came back together. And I feel like the Lord's saying, I see you. I see the struggles. I see life for what it is. But I want you to choose me because I'm the track you want. I'm the track that I want you to be on. And that all tracks are going to lead back to me. I'm after you. I'm after your heart. Amen. Okay, and then Miss Ava, it's funny because I got it a while ago too, and having talked to Danny makes total sense. I feel like God's saying, you are able, and I will meet you with the strength you need for the task you have. And I also feel like that this, it's not the end of the story for your neck, that God's going to continue to strengthen that. And he's going to give you the strength you need to walk through what he's calling you to do. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Listen, it really comes down to praying a little different way, seeing the red trucks on the road. It's really all it is, you know, saying, will I listen for somebody else? Will I try to take God's heart to somebody else? You know, I can't stand up here and say something I don't get. I look at all the faces. I love. Maybe if we prayed, I'd get something for everybody, but you can too, right? You can too. You can give away encouragement. And if it's that hard, just say something obvious. That's a beautiful sweater you have on today. But let's be used to encourage, okay? Make sense? Amen. Amen.